Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1 and 15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Well, praise the Lord, and good evening to our listening audience out there. We hope you are able to join us tonight. Tell a friend. Go and get some of your teenage children, young adults, anyone that, you know, no matter how old they are, this show is for you. Tonight we have our special guest, rapper Bobby Real Montgomery. But he's not only a rapper or performing artist, but he's also a minister. And he can bring deliverance to the captives. God has called him into ministry at a young age. Through his testimony, that was a life-changing situation that turned his life around. He was a young man headed to hell, selling drugs in the streets of Atlanta. But through the prayers of the righteous, a praying mother and father, God had one day he had an encounter, and that turned his life around. And since then, at the age of 16, he turned his life around, and now he is preaching for the kingdom of God. So you can, if you're a minister and you have a church and you want this young man, you can book him to come and teach or preach or perform. God just used the rap as a platform for him to used to get his message across to those that are in bondage, those that are hurting. And like I said, it's not just for the young. It's for anybody. That's why I put in the blog, you may be bound up on drugs. Well, you don't necessarily have to be young to be bound up on drugs. You could be bound up on sex. You don't have to be young to be bound up on sex, alcohol, prostitution, or any type of promiscuity. God is able to break the yoke, break the bondage. So at that, we will turn it over to minister, rapper, Bobby Real Montgomery. And Bishop will take it from here.
Amen. Rapper Bobby Real, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to roll. Ready to get it like never before.
All right. Well, the platform is open for you, and you can go as you desire at this time.
And just share your testimony of where it started, how you got into drugs, first of all, and then that life-changing moment where God changed your life. Amen?
Well, I want to appreciate y'all having me on the show tonight, and it's always an honor to be able to share what God has done in my life, and just the different stories and the different miracles that I've seen just in my time of life. I just want to share that God has really set me free in many ways, and I'll start off by saying that you're never too young to serve Jesus Christ. You're never too young to serve God. But
amen.
There are different influences that can pull you away from the call of God on your life. And that's for me. I knew that I was called of God at a young age. I mean, I can remember my parents telling me that, you know, I was going to preach at a young age. And, you know, but I just didn't know at that time, like, if I was old enough to do it. You know, it was just kind of like grown-ups do that. You know, I didn't really see people my age, you know, preaching the gospel or sharing the word of God. So I just kind of thought, yeah, maybe when I become an older man, you know. But I didn't realize God was calling me in my teenage years. God was calling me at the age of 13 and 14.
Amen.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
At that time, I didn't know. So, you know, for me, I was born in East St. Louis, Illinois. And my parents, you know, we moved us down from East St. Louis. And we got to Georgia in the 90s, and it was a lot more freedom and a lot more just fresh air, and it was just more things that we could do and more things we were exposed to. And, you know, I was in love with football. I loved playing football, but by the time I was by the time I was probably 15, we moved in a different area around Atlanta, outskirts of Atlanta, and just got caught up with the wrong crowd. Just start hanging around with people who was already selling crack cocaine and doing things that, you know, they didn't have no business doing, even though I was raised in a Christian household, God-fearing parents. I was distracted. And, you know, I started seeing different things like, wow, these people making money, you know. You know, it's kind of tight with our finances growing up, but I was just like, you know, I don't want to keep asking my parents for shoes and clothes and stuff like that, name brand stuff. I say, you know, let me get a job, or I seen easy ways to get money. So I say, well, I just get money and buy stuff myself, you know. And it was just like that was the fuel of things, but it wasn't that I was looking at it like I'm running from God. It's just once I start selling it. 15, I sold my first crack rock at 15, and that just caught me up and sucked me down a dark hole. And before you know it, I was basically kicked out of high school for not showing up. Now, it's not like I was like a one of those bad misbehaving kids in school. It was just, I just didn't show up to class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I ended up, you know, getting kicked out of school, kicked off the football team. And I just was all the way in the streets. And and that was a downward spiral for my life. And even the whole time I was out there, I knew God was calling me, but I was having a Jonah experience. It's like I was just running. I was just I know God calling me. I'm just not ready. I don't think I'm ready. I'm too young. God, how you calling me to preach the gospel? I'm only 14. I'm only 15 years old. What? I don't know what, you know. And it was like I just was running. Now I just don't know. I just wasn't ready, I guess. But God was saying I was.
All right.
You know, I grew up in church, you know. I remember being, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost at like 13 years old, going to church. I remember being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
But I drifted from that and was hanging around with the wrong people and not the right influences, and the fire, the little fire that was there,
was
put
out.
And before you know it, I was all the way out there. So I was out there for a few years. It's kind of like Jonah was in the belly of the big fish for 3 days, but I was in the belly of the big fish for 3 years. And I was in the prodigal moment. I was in a lost state.
Yeah,
I didn't know right from wrong, left from right. I didn't know. I was just lost. So I lost so much. And you know, I've seen people getting killed. I mean, people getting shot. I experienced people getting killed. Just a lot of stuff going on at that age, you know, between the ages 15 and 18. And, you know, before you know it, I remember clear as day, I was like 17 years old, and I remember I was running around, and I remember I was doing certain things with drugs, and I used to get away from police all the time. You know, they see me as a preppy school kid, college kid, or whatever. And I'd be sitting there talking to the police, and you know, they'll just let me go. They weren't searching me.
Didn't fit that image.
Thought I was slick. Yeah, I didn't fit that image. So I never got searched. I just thought I was so slick. And one night, I got locked up in a hotel room, and not even on the street. I was at the hotel, and they locked me up, caught me with some stuff in me, stuff on me, and then got locked up. So while I was in jail, that's when I think God really got my attention. You know, I couldn't get high because I used to smoke weed. I started smoking weed at a young age and started drinking at a young age. And but the Lord, the Holy Spirit, wouldn't let me try hard stuff. I smoked the weed, I drank, you know, smoked cigarettes, but it was still something in me that was like, don't try that cocaine. Don't try this. The weed, don't try that. I'm serious. It was like, even though I was out there, I knew I was out there, but I still heard God's voice sometimes.
Yeah.
I still had dreams of hell. I still had conviction of dying without Christ. I still didn't have peace. I was out there selling, but I didn't have peace. It was like God was always on my mind and on my heart 24/7. And I didn't have peace because I was always thinking, man, if I die, I'm going to hell. Or if something happened, I know God ain't pleased. And you know, it was just, that was always going on in my mind the whole time I was out there. So that's why it was hard for me to sleep, because I knew I was going to have one of them dreams. I knew one of those dreams was going to hit me up. So I didn't sleep 2-3 days until I just actually just fell asleep. But by the time I was locked up. I got locked up at 17. And I remember they give you the little jailhouse Bible. Only, you know, I was small. I don't think I knew to do push-ups and read the Bible. And God started dealing with me in jail. And yeah. I remember I just prayed. I said, God, you know, if you let me out, I do what you called me to do, and I do your will. And I don't know how long after that prayer, maybe a couple of weeks or a few weeks, I don't know, but I know they just came to the pond and said, Montgomery, you free to go. and I didn't know if y'all paid my bill or if anybody, the lawyers, or I didn't know. All I know is, like, Montgomery, pack your bags, it's time to go. And
I told your dad, I said, he's going to sit in there. I think it was your birthday, wasn't it? Your 18th birthday?
Yeah, I turned 18 July 28th while I was locked up. I spent my 18th birthday in jail.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, I didn't know what was going on. You know, I just was like, man, but it's like as soon as I got out, I called somebody up and I started selling dope again the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
that wasn't the turning point yet. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the turning point because I was like, it's kind of like I kind of looked at God like how they do in church, like God on a genie, you know, you rub the genie and make your wish.
Yeah.
And
right,
yeah.
Right.
You get out and you go back to doing what you want to do again. So,
yeah.
And that's what happened. I was just like, oh, okay, I'm out now, bro. Hey, I'm going to start back up and do it. That's the only thing I want to do. So, but I think it was maybe a month or two after that, it was a drought. And couldn't nobody buy no dope? Couldn't nobody sell dope? It was undercovers all the time. So we went we weren't selling dope because we couldn't get none. So it was clear as day, and we was just sitting out there outside in Crescent Square Apartments, and we was smoking weed, and we was just passing the blunt around this big circle, just maybe about eight, six or seven of us. Just, and I remember clear as day, I was facing the opposite direction of the street in Crescent Square, and I heard a voice come to my mind first, and it was clear as day. He said, hey, turn around. And I turned around, and I seen a guy sitting in that car. And I was thinking, like, I need to get this money because I got to get it before these other cats get it. So I hurried up and ran to the car, and I got in the car. And, you know, we driving down Osteo Road, and we was trying to, you know, talk about how much he wanted for this and how much I was going to sell him for that. But I told him, I said, make this right down this street and drop me off at the corner store. And he kept going straight. So I thought I caught a sale case. And I'm like, I just got out of jail 3 months ago. Now I know I'm about to go to jail for real. So he backed up in some apartments. And, you know, I think since I had just got out of jail, I was still kind of nervous, but he backed up in some apartments, and I seen the gun he had on the left side, but he said, look at you. You sitting in my car with the windows up, doors locked, and the seatbelt on.
Wow.
Now, this is something I never done before. Every time I was jumping cars, I jumped right out. I never did that in anybody's car. But for this reason, for some reason, I was in there. He said, look at you. You in my car, you got your seatbelt on, windows rolled up, and doors locked. And he said, you don't even know who I am, do you? So when he said that, I looked at him, and his eyes was just kind of evil looking, but they was just jet black when he said it, you know.
Jet,
I mean, yeah, I was high and I was a little, you know, I was a little faded, but when I seen that, I'm like, this is not real. This is some supernatural stuff. And when I looked at him, it was just black. his eyes was just black. And he said, you don't even know who I am. When I looked at him, I said, well, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I could be a jacker, which is a robber. I could be an undercover police, or I could be sent. So when he said sent, he put the gun to my head.
Jesus.
And right there, it was like one tear came down my face. It's not like I was panicking or nothing like that. I was still chill, but one tear came down my face while he was holding a gun to my head. And I said, God, if you real, forgive me right now, because I know if I die, I'm going straight to hell. And when I said that, you could see the countenance on his face change, like he got so mad and angry after I prayed. And I have to say, before I move on with the testimony, I said a short prayer. My prayer was, God, if you real, forgive me right now. That was it. Yeah. It don't have to be a deep 30-minute prayer. It, wherever you at, God will meet you there. Wherever you at, he's there for you. You can just say, Lord, forgive me, and that's a prayer.
Like the thief on the cross. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, the thief on the cross was like, hey, let me be with you in paradise. That was it. Right. And when I said that prayer, that guy got so mad. And he told me straight up, while holding a gun to my face, he said, you better be glad that God forgave you, because I was going to kill you. He said, if I ever see you out here selling dope again, I'm going to kill you, you hear me? So he still took my money, my shoes, my drugs, my jewelry. He took everything I had, but I felt the peace of God in that car where I knew he couldn't take my soul.
Hey, and man. Praise God.
He was like, get out my car, get out my car. He said, you just met the devil. He said, I've been out never seen you out here selling dope again. You hear me? Get out my car, get out my car. So that was the road of Damascus experience for me. You know, that was like, I go by the name of Real because I had a real encounter with Satan. And I had a real encounter with God's grace and his forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm real, but I met the real, you know, and the real is Jesus Christ, who's able to forgive you for your sins and keep you out of hell. And and that's what happened. So at 18, everything turned around. You know, I went home, my parents watching, y'all was watching some kind of praise TV network show. And I come home and, you know, y'all on the couch, and I'm like, yeah, right. Mama was like, yeah, well, we was praying God allowed something to happen to you because he couldn't get your attention. And I'm thinking, like, you serious? Like, I almost lost my life, and y'all just been here looking at hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness.
But you know what? But like you said, we never stopped praying. Mm-mm. Even when you would be gone, days at a time, and you didn't tell how people thought I was crazy, but I would just, you know, I would pray when you would come to the house. I'd put blessed oil, like you ain't forget it. I wouldn't see you 3-4 days, but I would cook the blessed oil, and we had a little altar where we prayed.
Amen.
Interesting. And it's not just for you, for all our sons, but God really had a call on your life. I was reading about 1 Samuel 3:4. It said God called Samuel 4 times.
That's right.
But he thought it was Eli, the high priest.
Yeah.
See, so when God calls you, a lot of times we ignore the voice of God. We let it overrule the things, cares of the world, overrule the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
But God know how to humble the proud.
Well, yeah, and you have to remember, I was just thinking about all of this, what you were saying. When you got in that car, grace was there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Lord was there because
Yes.
he could have easily shot you out right there. He could have easily not given you a chance to do that. But the Lord made the way, whereas you had the opportunity and the chance to repent, whereas some don't get that opportunity, some don't get that chance. But I would say this, many times God would speak to an individual, and like Evangelist Montgomery just said, they ignore it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing about it, you don't do that because you don't know when your time is up. You don't know when God is calling you home.
He said, the day you hear my voice,
harden not your heart. As in the day of provocation when I killed 27,000.
Yes, he did.
You see, he said that.
Yes, he did.
But, see, when God touched your heart in that car and you knew it,
mm-hmm.
then you did the right thing. You repented. If you had not repented, there's no telling where you'd be. Because he was mad.
He was angry. But I wouldn't have knew to repent unless I was raised in a Christian home where I knew about God, devil, repentance, forgiveness. I wouldn't have known. So I would have just been lost, you know.
And
one of my friends prior to me, he died at 16. Brain got blown out.
Yeah. And right there where y'all would always hang out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like you say, had you not had a praying mother and father, somebody interceding for those children. Look, I want to say this to the parents. Although they may seem your children, I don't care how old they are, they may seem a little wayward right now. Don't stop praying.
That's right.
I never dreamed that I would be sitting here interviewing my son after he was bound up out in the world, and now he's serving the Lord.
Amen.
Look, if you don't give up and you persevere, God hears your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But don't stop.
That's right.
Keep praying. Keep believing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will happen. Amen. You can continue, Bible.
Yeah, well, like I say, after that, after God got my attention, I still tried to go out there and hang a little bit, but I couldn't. I couldn't hardly sell dope. I tried to smoke weed. The weed wasn't getting me high no more. It was just hard. I mean, I didn't even feel comfortable with the goals I had in my mouth no more. Mm-hmm. It was a change.
Right.
And I realized. I say, you know what? I remember clear as day. I went to Sunday morning service with y'all, and I was smelling like weed, but I was just sitting there, and that pastor was just preaching, and I was just sitting there the whole time, and I didn't move. I was just sitting there, but he was just preaching, and when he got done and he did the altar call, I had that strong pull on my heart. And the only thing I could think about is, man, God just saved me. He just protected me. And I just went on the altar, and I just cried out, and I gave it all to God. I let it all go, and it's like God restored my mind. You know, I went back, got my GED, went to college. You know, I had the felony on my record, so I couldn't go to the Navy like I wanted to, but I had to wait, go to college a few years, and you know, just God restored my mind, and I went to the military at 22 years old, and I've been serving God. I never looked back. I know God told me, because I wrote one of my first poems at a young age, but I know the first Christian song I wrote, I was probably, and this was weird, because I started writing a song when I was transitioning out of the house into the world, and it was like I wrote the first verse. And that was it. Then it's like I went out in the world for a few years. Then when I get back, it's like I completed the song, you know. And I recorded that first gospel rap song. I was 19 years old, and I've been doing Christian rap since then, and I haven't stopped.
I see that a lot of our young people is being lost to the world. What is it that the church, I'm not going to say doing wrong per se, but what do you think, how could we be more knowledgeable of the tactics of the enemy so we won't just hand our children over to them? Because I'm not just talking about kids that don't know God. I'm talking about Christian kids.
Yeah.
They trying to fit in. They got all kinds of entertainment that is not conducive to God. That's why I said you're a real rapper, But your music, you know, a lot of times they say, well, gospel music is whack. But
no,
it's not. But you have to really open up yourself and listen to the message. And this is what I see a lot of young people is being lost to the world because they're looking out there in the world. If you see our main scripture tonight, it's Luke 15:11-32. It says, then he, a certain man, had two sons. I have three. The younger of them said to his father, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait till you die. I want it now. And so he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. Like I said, a lot of times I wouldn't know where you would be. But I would ask the Holy Spirit. I say, okay, Holy Spirit, you've been gone the whole month. I say, I ask you to go out there and grab them and bring them home. And it wouldn't be an hour till you knocking on the door looking crazy. I say, have you ate? Are you hungry? I say, go shower, you know? And you'd be sitting there. I remember the one night you came home. It looked like you had snake eyes or something. But I had cooked spaghetti and you was down there eating it. And what happened? I know the Holy Spirit fell on you at the kitchen table. Your dad called me from work. He said, what's all that ruckus up in there? I said, he getting filled with the Holy Ghost. What happened?
I was hollering.
Tormented.
Tormented.
Yeah, but that was them demons hollering out. You know, God was delivering him right then. Yeah. It said, but when he had spent all their... there arose a seventh famine in the land. Like you said, there was a famine. You couldn't even sell the drug.
Mm-hmm.
When none coming in, when none going out. And he began to be in want. He was saying, look, there ain't nothing going on out here, you know? Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Now, like we said last Sunday, Saturday, talking about those demons, when he say, suffer us to go into them swine.
Mm-hmm.
To the Jews, swines was an unclean spirit. And God calls demons unclean spirit. He had got so low that he was eating some of the slop. You know, we used to go to the slop farm.
Mm-hmm.
And pigs, it stink, it's nasty, it's muddy. He was down there eating the slop with the hog. That's how God looked at sin. When you turn from God and go back out in the world, he said it's like slop. That's what you're going to. And this, we have to be very blatant with our children because they feel that they're missing something in the world. A lot of times, some of them don't even get to make it back, it's sad to say. But I'll just tell the parents, keep praying. Keep interceding because that is their lifeline. Your prayers is what covers those children when you don't know where they are. That is the prayer that covers them. It says, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. You know, they eat them corn husks and just whatever the garbage they throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
And no one gave him anything. That's how the world is. You spend all your money on them, but when you need some, I ain't got nothing.
No,
you
man.
See what I'm saying? He said, but when he came to himself, see, that's when God regulated your mind, came to himself. Because when you're out there acting foolish, you're not yourself. You're being driven by your flesh and demonic spirit. Say, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? He was willing to just come in his father's house as a servant. That was humbling.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't try to say, look, I'm going to take my rightful ownership and come up in there like a priest. He said, look, I know I don't mess up. This is what's called repentance. He humbled himself. Amen? He said he knew the servants have bread enough to spare. And I perish with hunger. I'm just hungry. I will rise and go to my father and will say to my father, now this is repentance, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. make me like one of your hired servants. Now, that's what is called true repentance. Amen?
He had a heart for it.
Yeah.
But that's what the enemy does. The enemy is like a con man. He works on tricks and traps, but he never really desires to give anybody anything, because what he does, whatever he gives you, is in exchange for your soul.
Yeah.
So you're really not gaining anything.
It's really like a lure, like you lure them fish.
Yes, it's like a lure. And I've heard many wealthy people give their testimonies of how they have everything.
Mm-hmm.
And to the world, they look like they're on top of everything, but they're miserable, they're lonely, they're depressed, they're oppressed. And there, a lot of them consider suicide.
Some of them do. And
many of them do.
Yeah.
Take their lives. And we look at that and say, oh, man, what happened with that?
Right.
The enemy really doesn't give you anything.
Right.
God is the one who gives us good and perfect gifts. You know, he gives us good and perfect gifts. And when he give it to you, he's not going to take anything from you like that.
No.
The only thing he takes from you is your desire to destroy yourself. He takes that destructive nature away from you.
He regulates that mind.
Yeah, and he regulates the mind, but he doesn't take anything from you. He adds to you.
Mm-hmm. So what could we say to the churches if they're listening now and they say, we're losing all our young folks to the world? What can we do?
Well, first of all, I think in this time we're living in, you know, you have the church folks and the church teenagers who's very influenced by the world and the worldly music, and these kids that's being drawn to the world, they're not just kids that don't know the word. They've been hearing the gospel preached. They've been seeing the scriptures. They grew up in Sunday school. But here's the things that I noticed that some of these teenagers or some of these younger people are lacking. They're lacking a demonstrated power of the Holy Ghost. They're not seeing what's been preached over the years. They're not seeing what the parents are preaching. They're not seeing what the pastors are preaching. They're not experiencing the real move of the Holy Ghost. They're not experiencing it. And these kids are kind of like, I'm doing the best I can to go to church, but I don't have no power. I don't know how to fight. I haven't been taught spiritual warfare. So they, by default, they listen to what everybody else listens to. By default, they hang with everybody else and do what everybody else doing. But there's not real, you know, a lot of the churches that I've noticed, not all of them, but, the youth group is all about just entertaining the kids, giving them candy, let them watch movies, you know, let them have fun. But it's not real power and root, and you know, a lot of grown-ups put past that kids are dealing with suicidal demons or lust demons or porn or, you know, homosexuality, lesbian, as
they
desensitize to this.
Right.
And they're not teaching about it. They're not preaching about it.
But you know what the world is? The world's showing you about
the world gonna teach you.
Drugs and alcohol and lesbianism and demons. The world shows it. He don't care how old your children is. He even put it through cartoons now.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be the younger, the better. If he can expose you with seeing a naked woman or a naked man at 4 or 5 years old, hey.
So
the church in my world.
Right. And you're absolutely right. It's a real world out there, and we have to be real. Now, like I said before, this generation, they want real. And if they go to the church,
that's all they want.
Yeah, and they're not seeing nothing going on, but they see more going on in the world, they're going to be enticed to the world.
And that's what they'll be gravitated to.
Yeah.
And that's why they get into it. That's why some of these teenagers in high school now, think about it. They're getting into the crystals. They're getting into the Ouija boards. They're getting into the fortune telling. Why? Because they see power. They're experiencing demonic power, but they like, man, this stuff works. So
that's
they do
right.
it. But
that's
in the
right.
church, they ain't experiencing no real power. They ain't seeing nothing. They ain't experiencing nothing. They get a little howdy doody, praise
so
and worship.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well,
might cry at the altar. That's it.
Take their children to some of these perverted concerts. Well, it's best that I take
them. Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, you know. So what are you putting in your children that is okay? And, you know, some of these concerts is very demonic, you know. Really, you're just opening yourselves, your children up to all kinds of demonic influences. And I guess they say, well, you know, your son was out there at 16. But, yeah, it wasn't like we was encouraging them to be out there.
Yeah, I wasn't taking me to no demonic concerts and all that. These, I know pastors who actually took their kids to demonic concerts like Jay-Z, Beyonce, you know, and they know these people are demonic.
Right.
Well, see, the thing about all that is they don't believe, they take that lightly. Many people take the things of the spiritual realm very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Many people, as we were talking earlier today, many people do not consider their soul.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They just consider the fleshly part of them.
Mm-hmm.
They do not consider their souls, and as far as the spirit is concerned, is non-existent to them. And another thing, too, many people don't believe anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If they go to them different little concerts that's full of demonic activity, and they mess with Ouija boards, and they play with tarot cards and all this. A lot of times they do this. They go see witch doctors and hoodoo and hex folks and all this kind of stuff. A lot of times they do that, but they really don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people says it's like this. Well, I don't believe in any of this stuff, so it's not really real.
That's
so
true.
If I go and mess
mm-hmm.
with it, I don't believe in it, so it's not going to affect me.
Right.
And that's how a lot of people's minds are. But that's not how it works. The spirit realm is real both ways.
And this is Romans 11 and 8. He said, and I notice there's a spirit of slumber in the church. The things of God is dull to them. Like how Jesus asked him, he said, could you not pray with me 1 hour? Nowadays, the church, they can sit up 5 hours and look at dumb videos, YouTube videos,
TikTok,
stupid stuff. But when you put something about Jesus, they don't want to have no part of it. That's a spirit,
mm-hmm.
and he called it a spirit of slumber. Look what he said in Romans 11 and 8. He said, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day.
Mm-hmm.
Do we not see that today? And these are called church-going folks.
Well, it's a mm-hmm. hard condition.
But the things of God is dull to them.
Mm-hmm.
They can sit up, and I'm not knocking football. We look at it, too. But they have made football a god. They have made these idol singers that worship all kinds of demonic entities as their idols. Now, I told your dad,
mm-hmm.
I said, if I were to say Jay-Z going to be on this radio program, our phone lines would have lit up. Because they don't make idols out of these worldly people, and these worldly people is not following you to the church.
No.
I'm just being real with you.
They ain't following you nowhere.
Compromise the things of God just to draw people in the world.
Because we don't have to do that.
Amen, but we do.
We don't have to do that, but the reason that's done is because a lot of people don't have faith in God that way.
Well, they're going to bring in a big crowd and they want the money.
They don't. They don't. Because
so they'll have a Beyonce gapping all up in the church.
That's true, too. But if you believe in the Lord, then like Bobby Reel said, then you would be seeing things happening in the church. And I remember a time when you did see God moving in churches. You saw God moving in tent revivals. You saw God moving in churches. You saw God moving even on the streets.
There was more of a hunger, though.
You saw God moving and everything. And people, they had more of a hunger for the Lord. They believed more. They Amen. Knew they knew of a God, and they knew that they need deliverance. They knew that they had to be set free from something. And many times, God would have already done something in their lives. It's sad that people would have to be beat down to the ground by the enemy before they'll turn to the Lord.
Sometimes it happens.
It happens like that.
You
but
know,
it's a
but
shame.
God get your, he know how to get your attention. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do now, we're going to, you got your new music coming up. We got about 15 minutes. So tell us about your new, I think you just got a new release or something coming up. And we'll play a clip.
Well, yeah. Well, first I want to say that, you know, when I did come to Christ and I started doing Christian music, it was always Christian. I never called it hip-hop. It was always Christian or gospel rap, and that's who I am. I'm a Christian
uh-huh.
gospel rapper. I don't
uh-huh.
want to be called hip-hop. Don't call me
right.
hip-hop. I'm not part
right.
of hip-hop.
But
mm-hmm. I've since then, God opened up doors for me to get music placed in a movie a couple years ago called Under the Stadium Lights. That song called mm-hmm. Yeah, Yeah, Yeah.
Right.
And you could download that on every digital platform. So
mm-hmm.
that got landed in Hollywood movies starring Lawrence Fishburne, Milo Gibson, and many more.
Yeah.
And then I got another song that's waiting to be placed in a Hall of Famer documentary, Willie Rofe story.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Hall of Famer for the he used to play for the New Orleans Saints for a period of time and the Chiefs, so we got a song that's placed in that, and that should be coming out soon. So God been opening up doors. I've had opportunities to be with the Brotherhood. I don't know if it's the real Illuminati. I don't know who it is, but it's demonic groups that, you know, invited me to be a part of them, and I chose
mm-hmm.
not to. Secular mm-hmm. record deals, million-dollar deals, I've turned down because they
right.
don't glorify God. And so
That's
recently, this last song that just got released, actually got released yesterday. It's called I'm Here, and basically the song is available on all digital platforms, iTunes, Amazon,
okay.
whatever you have. But the reason why I called it I'm Here is because it's all about the return of Christ.
Amen.
It really is about Jesus coming on the earth like, I'm here, let's go. And I wrote this song years ago, but the Holy Spirit put on my heart to release it this month. And then when I see what's going on in Israel and all these wars and different things going on in the nation and the country, it's kind of like, it's the ninth month of a pregnancy, and the earth is finna give birth to disaster before the return of Christ, and
Amen.
That's what this song I'm Here is about. It's talking about the end of times. It's talking about, you know, persecution. It's talking about the return of Jesus Christ, and people need to get ready. Because God, when he show up, he's going to say, I'm here. Are you ready? Or are you going to get left behind? So that song was just released, and it's available on all digital platforms. Go download it now, Apple, Amazon. And so it's just a lot of stuff that God been put on my heart.
I'm going to play a little clip of it, if it's okay with you. Let me know if y'all can hear this.
Sure, you could play it.
Amen. Well, I played a clip of it. So if they want to go out there and get it, where can they get it? You said iTunes, Spotify, all
iTunes,
of
Amazon, it's on Spotify. It's on every musical digital platform. There's so many out there, but any music digital platform you use, just type in Bobby Rhea Montgomery and you'll see this song, I'm Here, and you'll see multiple other songs that has been released over the years.
Your testimony, you put that in a testimony form, so you got a lot of good music out there.
Yep.
And like I say, it's good music, believe me.
It's not just good music, the message is
there.
Yeah,
strong message.
It's really just preaching to music, and it sounds good, and it has a real message that will set people free and make and wake them up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people need. They need to be awakened to where we really
slumber.
Are.
Yeah,
you know?
Come out that slumber.
Yeah,
get back with God. You know, if you don't stray away, God is saying today you can come back.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever is listening, you may have looked back out in the world and you may have slipped up a little bit, but God say His grace is sufficient.
It's sufficient.
You can come on back.
That's right.
Just repent, just like that prodigal we just read about. He humbled himself. He said, look, I just eat at my dad's servant table. I ain't even got to take the top seat.
Yeah.
Just let me back in your kingdom, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is how we I know I slipped up. I know I messed up. Lord, just let me back in your kingdom. You know? So this is what we should
do. And
that's
another thing.
Yeah.
That's another thing I want to say, that I love to share my testimony because I want people to know what I was in. I want people to know where God delivered me from. And that's another thing that this generation needs to hear. They need to see, you know, a lot of adults or parents, they don't want to share with their kids how they used to live their life before they came to Christ. And, you know, the kids or the teenagers look at the parents like they just the most holiest person on earth, but they don't know, hey, I used to deal with this. You know what I'm saying? I've been here. You know, and you know, it's a time for everything, you know, we're dealing with. But I believe like this. I feel like whenever that child or that kid is being exposed to particular things, that's the time for the parent and the pastors to start speaking about it. So if little Johnny coming home at 6 and 7 years old talking about some little boy was showing porn on the phone,
there
now we got to break it down to little Johnny on his age
that's
level.
Right. That's right.
As a parent and as the pastors that's and the Sunday school teachers, because this is what's going on. So that's another thing that I recognize. Like, these people want real. They want real. You know, you can't talk to somebody about something if they don't think you've been through it, because they're going to think you judging them. They're going to think you throwing stones. But if you come at them like, hey, let me tell you my story. This is what I was in. They'll open up.
That's true. And like you say, we all have sinned and come short. And if they put in, so this person got two mommies, two daddies in our school library.
Yeah.
Like I say, the devil don't care how young your children is. They even have after school witch programs.
Yeah, they have.
Because they consider witchcraft as a religion.
Yeah.
Look, we need to wake up. Get your head off the sand. Satan don't care about your kids. He don't care how young they is. They even been putting dope in these little jelly beans and stuff. Going to school, got little dope dealers, 10, 11, feeding your kids these candies. They had overdoses here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Come on now. We need to wake up.
Well, the enemy is really trying to destroy the children, because if he can destroy the children, he can destroy the next generation.
Yeah.
So those who are elderly and have some experience on some things, they need to stand up. And some people are. Some people are standing up against all this stuff, and they're saying, no, we're not having it.
And we're not compromising.
And we're not having it. We're not compromising. We know what you're doing. And it was one preacher, he went to the school, and he was just reading out of the books that they had in the library.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to get him out of there because the stuff he was reading was all kind of cuss words and foul stuff, perversion. And he was just reading it out loud, and they were being offended by it. But he said, this is what you have in this school. This is what you're giving to our children. This is in the library.
And go to even further, I was in Walmart. They got witchcraft books. Right there where you go buy your books is books of witchcraft. But it's disguised like it's for kids. Look, come on, y'all. And Satan is out there. He's targeting these young people. And the church needs to step up their game. Stop being like everything is, you know, hunky-dory and perfect in the church. It's not.
No, no, it's not. And God is raising up people who are
bold
and dealing with these things, and they're talking.
All right.
They're coming against it.
Amen.
Well,
we got about 4 minutes, and we're going to ask Pastor, rapper, Bobby Real, you could close us out and final statement and close us out.
Yeah. I'm going to just pray.
Amen.
Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be on the show, Lord. You know everything that we've been through, and you know everyone who will listen to this show tonight and in the future, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus that your power and your anointing be felt and experienced, that will lead people to their knees, lead people to repentance, with them just saying a simple prayer, God, forgive me. Come into my heart and save me and change my ways. Change the way I live my life and help me to live my life to glorify you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just pray that people will be encouraged. We pray, Lord God, that people will have hope and where they feel like giving up, Lord, give them hope to know that you are a forgiving God, that you are a God of grace. You are a God that never leave or never forsakes us, Lord. You're always there. Let them know that they're not alone. Let them know that you have a call for them. You have a plan for them, that you have a future for them. And it's not in death, but it's in life, and it's an eternal life, Lord God. We just thank you for giving them peace and joy and helping them to turn back to who you called them to be, who you created them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So be sure to pick up his music. You can, if you just Google Bobby Real Montgomery, his music going to come up. He's also on YouTube, got videos on YouTube. He also is available for speaking engagements. If you want to have a youth revival, he is available. Just hit him up on Facebook, Bobby Real Montgomery. We're so blessed to have you on our show tonight. Keep sharing the gospel, and we want to have you back soon, brother.
Amen.
All right?
I would love to be. It was a blessing. Thank you.
It was a blessing to us. Just refreshing to hear your testimony again. We had heard it, but it's refreshing, and it builds us up, too. Amen.
Amen.
So we ask that you guys tune in. Remember, this Saturday, 7:30, we'll be back live. So you be blessed this evening. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.